told my wife on the way here, I said, I won't even preach in this meeting. He's got too many preachers here. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord. Amen. I trust the Lord to help us to be able to be a blessing to you. I've got to say some things while you're finding your places in Mark chapter number 2. My, what messages we've heard. And Lord have mercy, you said we're going at 12:30. It's 1:04 now. y'all are late. Or I'm awful early. Maybe he meant 12:30 tonight. Amen. But we'll be in Mark chapter number 2. What preaching we've heard already. Been a blessing and a help to my heart. I have to share this because I believe it goes along with what's already been preached. I'm preaching through Daniel right now, and I dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, of course, in the first four chapters and primarily in chapter number 4. And you don't have to agree with me, but I believe Nebuchadnezzar got born again. I believe the change took place, and I believe it was evident in his testimony from chapter number 4. What has broken my heart in starting in chapter number 5 is his son started out full of pride, as Nebuchadnezzar's days were before the end. And God dealt with, get a hold of this, God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, it appears, for many years, on many different occasions. Belshazzar got one chance in the scriptures, as it appears. I believe if Belshazzar would have repented when the writing came on the wall, I believe he could have got right with God. But you know what he did? He called for the worldly wisdom to try to find out what was being said. God help us, preachers. We need to go with the Word of God.
Amen.
Too much worldly wisdom going on now. And we do need to stay with the Word of God. Amen. Mark chapter number 2. And trust the Lord to help us this morning. I'm going to try to take all the preaching you've heard last night and this morning thus far and make it applicable in our life. All right. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible said, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? I'm amazed of how they answered their own question. They didn't want to believe he was God, but they answered their own question. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 8, And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. And I want to try to preach briefly, and I'm not going to go into the details of my outline, I guess you'd say. But I want to try to preach on this thought, bring them in. Bring them in. I'm confident in the time that we live, as has already was said this morning by Brother Hevington there. And, you know, we've come to a place in society with the fear of COVID-19, with the fear of people and the violence of the land. It's not just the sickness. Amen. It's the violence. But I got news for you. It was violent in Noah's day. It was violent in Lot's day. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. So I do believe that it's still with purpose and God's plan for us to get out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't care what fear we may have of sickness. I don't care what fear we may have of violence. I don't care what our own personal agenda is. It is still our sole purpose and God's plan for us to be a witness. Amen. If you can't go out and knock on a door and go door to door, as we would call it, and tell somebody about Jesus, you need to at least be living your life in such a way as you go about your daily activities on the job, as you go down to the grocery store, as you go to the department store, amen, and tell somebody about the good saving grace of God. Amen. I tell you, I've received such encouragement here in the last few days. I wish I could tell you all the stories. But let me just tell you this briefly. We was coming up the road yesterday on our way in, and we received, Shauna received a message from a young lady that got saved there in the ministry at Shawneetown, Illinois. Amen. Left the ministry right there before that it closed down, and left, can I say, in a wrong way or a bad way. But she got a message, and she's been in touch with her now while we was here, and then also now since we've been in North Carolina. But she got a message yesterday, just out of the blue, hadn't heard from her for a long time. And she said, I just want to thank y'all for telling me the truth of the Word of God. Amen. We got a message from a little boy. Amen. Then, but now a grown man that said, I don't know if this Joel Gray, you know, cause of Shauna's on the Facebook page thing there, but said, I don't know if this is the same Joel Gray that pastored in old Shawneetown, Illinois, but you tell him that snotty-nosed brat that he preached that night out of John saying, you need to see the light. Amen. He said, you tell him I've seen the light. Amen. Amen. Now gotten saved and serving God. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when some things are needed in our lives, we might feel like we've not seen the results. We might feel like what's the use in continuing to go forward. But God will send, help for us in the ministry if we are faithful to Him. Amen. Boy, I tell you, you men talked about 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to go home and preach from it. Amen. I was thinking, Lord, help. We've got a ministry. We've got mercy. And now we're not fainting. Amen. For the glory of God. We've got a good motive just to keep pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? But these four men, let me just briefly say a few things here about this, and then I'll be done this morning, all right, or this afternoon. But the Bible's teaching us here the course that the Lord hadn't been in Capernaum now for a little while, but now He's come back to Capernaum. Now He's come back to do a work here that needs to be done. I want you to notice just quickly, let me give you just some preliminary introduction to points here. The proclamation, it was noised that Jesus was in the house. I'm going to tell you why we don't have a lot of visitors today, and I'm going to tell you why we're not seeing people come to the house of God and get saved today, is because people's not noising that He's here. Amen. And let me just go ahead and say this. And it's not so much of the fact that if you're not saying something about Him being here, it's the fact that He needs to be here. Amen. That when they come in those doors back there, they need to see that Jesus is here and not just hear you say that He's here. Amen. And we'll get to that here in just a minute of why they can see that. But there needs to be a proclamation that is noised that Jesus is in the house. Amen. Then we see the group of people. Many were gathered there. So much that you couldn't even gather around the door. Lord have mercy. If Brother Shepherd come in here Sunday, amen, and couldn't hardly get in the door for the crowd, I'm sure he would have a heart attack. Amen. We've been struggling pretty good. Church is doing good as far as spiritual growth, I feel, and just a good nucleus and good strength there. But I know, and I know it's this way everywhere, I'm sure. There might be one or two exceptions. But church people need to see other people come in. The pastor needs to see other people come in, amen, and to get help from God. And I'm telling you, walked in Sunday, didn't know anything, and end up 7 people come in. Praise God. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, amen, and it's not because I went out inviting people. It's not necessarily because, even though I know a couple of them were invited by somebody else, but what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, this one particular family, let me put it this way, this one particular family said online somewhere on their social media, said, I'm looking for a church that'll preach the truth, preach from the King James Bible, because that's what I need to hear. Amen. And they said that some people put this one and that one and everything else, and we had 2 people in our church put Vision Baptist Church on there, and they showed up Sunday, and his wife said this, said, I believe this is the place where I can find God. Amen. They need to find God. We all need to find God. Amen. I believe there's too many of us, and I give this illustration on myself even last night. I believe there's too many of us about like Elijah. We feel like it's about all over. We feel like we're about the only ones left, and we don't see a whole lot of results and a whole lot of crowds doing anything for God, and we think it's all over with. But it's not all over. It's not all over. There is a group of people. Now, some, without a doubt, wanted to come for mischievous reasons. Let me just say it that way. But some came for the help that Jesus could give. Amen. I won't say there needs to be preaching. Amen. He preached the word unto them. He didn't just go to heal physically. He went to preach. Amen. There needs to be preaching. I like what the preacher said last night about the singing. Amen. Thank God for good gospel singing. Amen. I've enjoyed it. Amen. Thank God for the hymns of the faith, the congregational singing that we hear and that we get involved in. I thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, it's more than just about singing. Preaching. Preaching's what'll get the job done. The sad truth is that many will not come to where Jesus is, or they come with criticism or other motives, as we've seen in verses 6 and 7. Let us keep trying to get people to Jesus, though, because He can work miracles in a person's life if they will believe in Him. Amen. Now, let me just give you these 3 things, and then I want to deal with those 4 men quickly, all right? I'm not even going to run to the scriptures. I believe everybody here is very familiar with what the Word of God says about these men, all right? But I want to say, first of all, if we're going to bring them in, there's going to have to be a burden. I think the Lord showed me this, I think. And let me put it this way. I know He showed me this, and I know I'm right about it now. But I used to think, I guess, a little different about a burden. But I've come to the conclusion now that I know what a burden is. A burden is a, for maybe lack of my intelligence to explain it a better way, is a feeling that you just can't get rid of. A burden is a circumstance going on in your life. Can I say it this way? That every time you think, every time you wake up, every time you go to do something, that thought is in your heart, on your mind. Now I want to ask you a quick question. I'm going to move right on. How many sinners is on your mind? I'm afraid we don't have the burden like we say we got. How many days do you get up with that person on your mind? I prayed when a brother Shepherd called on me to open up in prayer this morning for a man that I work with by the name of Randy May. I believe the man needs to get born again. He's our dispatcher there at work, and he's undergoing a very serious surgery tomorrow. With the surgery, he might not ever walk again. He might be paralyzed from his neck down. Without the surgery, he will be paralyzed from the neck down within months. So he's undergoing the surgery. I've been, ever since I've found out about this, of course, I try to live the right kind of life. I believe you can understand that if you know anything at all about me. I've tried to live the right kind of life. I've tried to be a witness. I've tried to portray Christ the best I know how. Amen. Even in all my frailties, I've tried to do what I know to do is right. And I'm telling you that he, amen, come to the point the other day, he made a statement. And I said, Randy, I said, you know, the most important thing in life, he made a statement about this surgery, is that we know that when we take that last breath, that when we stand before God, we'll stand before him as a saved child of God. That is the greatest thing that you can know, and that's the only thing, amen, that is most important in your life that you must know. I said, because we have to be prepared to meet God. Amen. And he said, I'm afraid I'm not prepared. Boy, I went to praying. I talked to the church about it, had the church praying and everything. And I think it was a week before this past Wednesday. And he was going to quarantine, of course, to get ready for the surgery and everything. And Wednesday was going to be his last day at work. And we don't know how long he'll be out, several months, if everything goes perfect according to the doctors. And I was outside working on a van, and I come in, and he told me that. He said, Joel, he said, I want to tell you, I've decided to go ahead and quarantine after today. He said, I want to thank you for all you've done for me. How you've helped me, talking to me through some of these things. And he said, I want to thank you. And I said, Randy, I said, would it be all right if I pray with you right now? I was going to wait till after 5 o'clock when everybody left because I didn't want to embarrass you. But I said, would it be all right if I pray with you right here, right now? 4 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody's still there. Drivers coming in and going out. And he said, sure, it'd be all right. He took his hat off, bowed his head right there at his desk, and I stood right there beside him at his desk and prayed for him and prayed that God would touch the doctors and that God would work in his heart and help him be prepared to meet God in case something went south. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I've got a burden for him, and every day I get up, he's the man on my mind. Every day I get up, he's the man on my mind. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back tonight for that burden. But what I am telling you is I believe that's the definition of a burden. Do you have a burden? I see that in verse number 3. These men were praying and bringing their petition, which was this man, to God. All right? Persistence. They could not come nigh, so they uncovered the roof where he was. Well, you say, preacher, I just don't know how to get them there. Well, figure out how to get them there. I'm not talking about hot dogging them in, amen, and feeding them a piece of pizza to keep them. I'm not talking about a lot of games and gimmicks, but figure out some way to get them to the house of God, to get them to Jesus, amen. Number 3 is their faith. I'm afraid this is where we fail in a lot. If it ain't over the burden, it's probably over this. Do we really believe God will? We know God can. There's not a person here. If you know God, there's not a person here that does not believe God can. But I believe we need to be like that man in Luke that said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. this might not be absolutely right. If it ain't, you can help me with it after the service. But God showed me back when I was in old Shawneetown, Illinois, what I believe that meant, at least for me. And it's, Lord, I know you can, but help me to believe you will. Lord, I know you can, but help me to believe you will. And I've been praying hard that God touch Randy's heart. Amen. And save him by the good grace of God. I want you to notice where this man got his first help from, because of the faith of these four men. Can I say, I won't even use Randy, but can I say that the burden on your heart today, for some sinner or group of sinners, the only way they're going to get help to start with is if you have some faith. If you don't have faith, how in the world do you expect them to have faith? Amen. Jesus saw their faith. Am I in the book? Jesus saw their faith, and therefore he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Now let me give you this representation, and I know there's many different applications, and I won't even get into that part of my notes here, but I know there's many different applications that I've heard preached and that you can preach on these four. Right. But I want to show you what these four stand for me, what God showed me. One was they stood for compassion. You're never going to see a sinner get the help that they need if you don't have any kind of compassion for them. I'm not talking about, oh, you got to love them to Jesus. That ain't what kind of theory I'm talking about. A lot of people think love is overlooking all the wrong and just letting them live any way they want to. That ain't what love is. Amen. But you got to have some compassion. I believe there's two forms of compassion. I believe we have not rightly divided the word of truth. And I believe that we have come to a place that we think compassion is simply always showing that love. But compassion is also showing them that hatred. I believe the Bible said that having compassion, some making a difference. Others. Isn't that what it said? Others. Saved by fear. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar by any means, and y'all can correct me later if you want to, but I believe there's two definitions of compassion right there. Some love. Some fear. Amen. Let me hurry on. Not only did they have compassion, I'm talking about all four. I'm not talking about just one. All four had compassion. If only three of them would have had compassion to bring this man to Christ, probably wouldn't have got him there. But all four. You say, well, preacher, what's your application for that? It means we all in this together. I asked the Lord what he wanted me to preach, and this is what he laid on my heart. So it ain't changed. Before I left North Carolina, this is what God said, preach. Amen. Then I see, secondly, the confidence. All four of these men, can I say all the church? Can I say all the men of God? Can I say all the people of God? They not only need to have compassion, they need to have confidence. These men were confident if we get him to Jesus, it'll be okay. I'm afraid too many people ain't got the confidence they need to have. Because they won't dare try to get them to where Jesus is at. Can I say this? Now don't go out here and say, now Joel said you can only get saved in the church, because that ain't what I'm saying. But can I say this? He was in the house.
Amen.
He was in the house.
Yep.
You get him to the house of God.
Amen.
And if Jesus is there,
and
if everybody is where they need to be with the Lord, and I'll get to that in just a second, Amen. Jesus will do a work for that sinner. Amen. Had a man in the church. I was doing a few things for him up at his house, and had a man ask me Saturday. He said, "You know what you're preaching on tomorrow yet?" And I said, "Well, not absolutely certain, but I said it's probably going to be along the lines of salvation." I said, "I just feel impressed to preach on salvation more so tomorrow, and maybe not so much as in how to be saved, but what salvation has done." And I ended up preaching. God ended up just not letting me get away from that thought, and I ended up preaching out of Psalm 103. Amen. On salvation and what God has done for us there with salvation. He said, "Well, who's coming?" He thought I was going to preach on salvation because I knew somebody lost was coming. I said, "I don't know." But God did. So listen to me. Let me say this as a word of admonition. Don't think for one minute that you can't invite someone to the house of God because you're afraid the preacher ain't going to say what you think he ought to say. God will make sure he says what he needs to say if he's sensitive to God. Amen. Well, I need to hurry. One more minute. Number three, they were in concord, unity.
Right.
We're not going to see sinners come to Jesus and get the help that they need from Jesus if they can't find unity. Buddy, when they come in the church, or if they hear out there that this church is in a bunch of midst of strife and bickering and carrying on and having all kinds of problems, you think you want to come here? I get enough of that in my life. I don't need it somewhere else, and especially at the house of God. Amen. Now let me just say I don't have it at the house. Praise God. Then I'll say number four, consistency. These men are portraying four attributes that if we as a whole, even you as an individual, if you're dealing with an individual, but we as a whole, if we can gain these attributes in our life, I believe we can see the results.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, well, we're just not seeing results today." Well, I agree. We're not. But I think it's more our fault than it is God's. Matter of fact, I know it ain't His. I want to give you something. I don't know why nobody said anything about Ruth today. And I don't know why, but sitting right there, I'm going to go back and I'm going to preach another message out of Ruth. But I want you to get a hold of this. I do believe I know why. Now, I believe it was Brother Hevington made the statement that the fields was the world. And Jesus said the fields are white already to harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
I've heard it much from people. Well, we're just living in the gleaning days. And they use Ruth as an example. Here's what I'm going to go back and preach. All right? When Ruth was gleaning, and Boaz said, "Drop some handfuls of purpose for her."
Yep.
Now get a hold of this now. The gatherers were still out here getting the multitude of the crop.
Yep.
We might just be getting a handful here and there that God wants us to get, but you missionaries out in the world, and when I say that, I'm talking about out there where the gospel is just not there all the time. Have the opportunity to not just glean a handful, but to gather in the sheaves.
Amen.
If the Lord, now, don't come arguing with me about it because I got my Bible and I know where I'm standing. If the Lord said the fields are white already to harvest, that means there's a bunch of sinners out there that need Jesus. Now you can say, "Well, I might only get one or two," all you want to, but they're out there for us if we'll bring them in. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate the time.